Second of all, it's funny. I once asked Rabbi Nissel, you know, what it takes to become a Rabbi Orlovsky. So he told me, just start laughing. And you start laughing. So I tried, and I couldn't. He says, well, if you can't just start laughing naturally, he says, you can't be a Rabbi Orlovsky. But you can be you. So I'll try to do me. I'd like to start off this evening with a story. Yeah, it says that there are 75 donuts on the way in first come, first serve. Okay. Now, I'd like to start off the story, which takes place in an old age home. And this old age home was a little bit different than your average old age home. You see, this old age home was for the people that really had no family, no visitors. They couldn't really do much. And it was just one long room with painted white walls. Very, very dull, very boring place. It was people, you know, stayed until they just died. However, there was one highlight of every person's day in that old age home. You see, there was one bed at the very far side, the right side of the room, which was next to a window. And every morning, Yitzchak, who was at the window by the bed, he would pull himself up, he would look out the window, and he would tell everybody in the old age home what was going on outside. And one day he would say, today, Rabosai, it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. The mothers are taking their children to the park and pushing them on the swings. The birds are chirping. Another day he would say, you should see the white of the snow. It's amazing. The kids are having snowball fights. It's beautiful. Another day he would talk about the rain and then a rainbow. And everybody looked forward to 7 a.m. in the morning. He would pick himself up and he would give over the weather report and what was going on outside. And now everybody wanted to have that bed. But there was really only one way to get that bed. And that was, whenever someone died, everybody did roly-poly over to the next bed. So they were waiting, in a sense, for Yitzchak to die, right? So that way, Moshe, who was next to him, could go and get his chance. And it actually happened. Yitzchak passed away. So Moshe rolls over. And that whole night, he can't sleep. He's trying to imagine to himself what exactly, how he's going to say it, what type of voice, what's the weather going to be like, is he going to be able to inspire everybody with his weather report or not. And, you know, very restlessly he falls asleep, and already 6 o'clock he's awake, 6:30 he's all pumped, he's flexing his biceps to do that little pull-up to get to the window, 6:45 he's excited, can't hold back, 7 o'clock he looks, doesn't see anything. 7:05, people are waking up already, wondering what's going on. Why is there no report that they're so used to having? 7:15 already, he's getting all nervous. And he, with all his effort, he pulls himself up and gets a full look outside the window. And he sees a brick wall of the building next door. He doesn't know what to do. He has a huge dilemma. He lies back down. He closes his eyes. Puts a smile on his face, and he says, Rabosai, it's a beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. The mothers are taking their kids to school. Now, why do I tell you this story? Because everything in life, everything that happens to us, is based on perspective. Whichever way a person chooses to view life, he can decide how he's going to get through it. And that power is up to every single one of us. I have in my pocket for afterwards a little magic trick, maybe you'd call it, that shows you the power of perspective. In last week's Parsha, Rivka's pregnant, and we know there's this big fight of the worlds going on in her stomach. But she doesn't know that. And the pasuk says, Vayisrotsu Abanim Bekirba. They're fighting inside. And she went to go ask the question. Vatomer, she said, Im Kain, if so, Lama ze Anochi. Why is this me? What does that mean? Why is this me? So the Drasha Saran explains. Why did Avraham want to find a wife for Yitzchak? From the people that were by Urkastim, they were big over the Avodah Zarah. He had already had many, converts, many Gerim and Canaan that he had converted and brought closer to Judaism, to God. Why didn't he find the wife from there? Why did he go back to the very place that saw him get thrown into the fire, right, and still remained in their ways? But that's exactly it. He was looking for someone who had a stubborn quality, because Jews are stubborn. Am kishay oref. We don't hear the Rambam says anything about the Jews who Avram converted in Canaan. We don't know what happened with them, because they weren't solid. So today they learned, the next day they went out and partied. The people that were in Urkastim, Charan over there, sure they were bad, but they were really bad. And they stuck in their ways, they were stubborn even after what they saw. And Rivka was bothered. She said, if the whole reason you took me was because I possess this trait of being stubborn, but look at my kid. One day he wants to go to the Beis Medrash, next day he wants to go to a church. My kid's confused. Im kein, lama ze anochi. If so, why is this me? Why'd you choose me? And the answer was, you have two inside of you. And each one was really very, very stubborn in their own way. The Yalkut Shimoni says that the month of Cheshvan is the only Jewish month that has another name to it. And it's called Chodesh Bul, Beis Vav Lamed, Bul. The word Bul means stamp. What's the essence of a stamp? A stamp is something that goes in and makes a new impression. It takes what was there before and gets rid of it. That was the Mabul, right? It was Bul that came in 40 days. It went and it changed the whole world. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the generation of the Mabul, they had two choices. Either to all be killed and destroyed, or to receive the Torah. Now that seemingly makes no sense. Why would the generation that was so bad have to either be destroyed or receive the Torah? But the answer is because the Torah has the same effect that the Mabul did. The Torah destroys what was there and makes a new person. If any of you guys thought that you could come to yeshiva and come out the same person, you were very mistaken. Everybody knows the Vart, the first letter in the Torah is Beis, last one's Lamed, Lev, right? But did you know that the middle letter in the Torah is what letter? Vav, Beis, Vav, Lamed, Bul, stamp. Torah was given in 40 days, that's Mabul as well. Because the Torah does the same exact thing. It takes what was there, and it goes and it changes a person. Whether you really like it or not. However, the Yetzer Hara tries in many different fashions to get in our way. I'll tell you a story which I'm not sure if it's true or not. But it brings across the point a little bit of what the Yetzer Hara tries to do. The story goes that there was a boy named Yankel. And he was learning in yeshiva. And he was a big Talmid Chacham. He was a really, really good guy. However, one day a friend of his saw that Yankel looked a little bit down. So he came to Yankel and he said, Yankel, tell me, why do you look so sad? So Yankel said, well, if you really want to know, I work really, really hard. And I'm learning. But Shimon over there, right? He seems to have lots of friends, and everyone seems to be attracted to him. And, you know, I feel a little embarrassed to say this, but I felt like I'm a really good guy. I really learn guys that want to hang around me. But, you know, he's the one that everyone's by. So the friend tells Yankel, don't worry. Don't worry about, Shimon. You are a great guy. You have so many good qualities. And he goes and tries to raise his spirits, and he actually does. But a few days later, Yankel is very depressed again. And he goes back to that friend because he had already confided in him. And he says, listen, I don't know what to do. You know how the whole yeshiva is learning Bava Metzia and we're really trying to finish it? And everybody left it like one parak for the end, the really hard parak. I've been sitting and learning day and night doing it. And you know what? So has Shimon. But Shimon decided that he's giving a shir to all the younger guys to help them finish. so that they'll finish on time. Why didn't I think of that? Why wasn't I the one to go and help everybody make the siyum? I'm capable of doing it. I can learn better than Shimon. The friend sort of felt that this was already a little bit out of his hands, right? The feelings that Yankel was having. And he went and he spoke to the Mashgiach. Shortly later, the Mashgiach calls in Yankel for a talk. And the Mashgiach says, Yankel, I want to tell you a story about your grandfather. As you know, Yankel, your grandfather was a huge, huge Talmud. He gave 27 Dafiyomi shears a day. Everyone went to him with their questions. He was very well known. Very, very big Talmud Chacham. And then something happened. He became blind. And Mashgiach says your grandfather was so sad. Not about the fact that he couldn't see anymore and he would suffer physically, but he was worried about Olam Haba, Torah, learning. What was he going to do? He couldn't read Gemara anymore. But there was this very big Baal Chesed who helped your grandfather find the Chavrusa. And he found a Chavrusa who would learn with him for 6 hours a day straight. And they would learn together, and the Chavrusa would correct him, and they had a terrific Chavrusa together. However, one day your grandfather came home, and he told his wife, I don't think I could do this anymore. I don't think I could learn with my Chavrusa anymore. His wife said, why not? He said, well, it's true, we learn for 6 hours, and it's terrific. But I know that when I'm done, I come home, I can't see anything. And my Chavrusa, who's the same age as me, say I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham, he goes and he gets to see his grandchildren. And I'm jealous of him. And therefore I have to break off my Chavrusa. His wife said, you know, it's 6 hours of learning, it's hard to find a Chavrusa when you can't see, you gotta keep this going. And he said, fine, I'll try. And he kept it going until the first sukkahs came since he became blind. And he tells his wife, I just can't live with the thought that all the people who used to come and ask me questions about their lulav, their esrog, their sukkah, they're going to go to my chavrusa. I just can't handle it. I'm going to learn with him today. When we're done, I'm breaking it off. And he goes and he learns that day. And they finish. And before he opens his mouth, his chavrusa says to him, would you mind checking my esrog for me? He says, is this some sort of nasty joke? Oh, you making fun of me? Why do you need me to check it yourself? And chavrusa says, I'm blind. I can't check my own esrog. And then it dawned on him that Baal Chesed had went and set up two huge tzaddikim who were both blind to learn with each other. And the whole time, each one thought that, you know, the other one was correcting him because they had the thing in front of them, were able to see. The whole time. Mashgiach says, your grandfather asked me never to tell this story. Because it's hard to talk about, you know, a big person who had a little jealousy. But I was told what's going on with you. At this point, you know, Yankel felt a little bit uncomfortable that the Mashgiach knew about his jealousy feelings. And he says, you know, I got permission from a different boy I had a conversation with that I taped to play to you. And the Mashgiach pulls out a tape recorder and he plays for Yankel a conversation which he had with Shimon, where Shimon is telling the Mashgiach how jealous he is of Yankel. How Yankel is able to sit and learn for hours by himself, and how the only way he was able to sit and learn was if he had other people around him and surrounded by other people to get it done. Mamish, the exact same tainos, but the other side. This is the Yetzer Hara, one of the main Yetzer Haras that we face in Yeshiva. A person by nature, you're jealous. So hopefully you're jealous of, you know, Rav Shach, Rabbi David, one of your Rabbeim. You're jealous of someone. But a lot of times there's kinas chaverim, you're jealous of your friends. Why does he get it faster than me? I spend more time, I work harder, why does he get it? But these aren't very good thoughts. It says, Ki lekach notzarta. Man was created to serve Hashem. And Hashem only gives us something that we can handle. Hashem will only do stuff that he's sure that we can deal with. The Yetzer Hara cannot kill you. We know Avraham Avinu, when he was on his way to Akedah, one of the things that the Yetzer Hara did was he made this huge river. And Avram's walking, and the water gets up to his nose, and he keeps on going, and what happens? It disappears. My Rebbe said, what would have happened had Avram turned back at that point? Would we have a taina on him? No. He went up to his nose. He couldn't breathe. He went back, right? But what would have been the difference? If he would have gone back, his clothes would have been wet. When he continued, he came out perfectly dry. Because the nisayon was never there. When you fall into it, so it feels so real. My clothes are wet. It was there. I couldn't. But you take that one little step past that nisayon, and it's as if it was never there, that it was completely gone. The Yetzer Hara has adapted over the last few years. Before the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the Yetzer Hara was completely external. It was very easy to distinguish it. However, after Adam sinned, the Yetzer Hara became part of the person. But even in past years, if you take a look, we never had what we have nowadays. Throughout thousands of years, Jews were persecuted for learning Torah. They couldn't. Today, we don't have Nazis who are trying to kill us. Look how crazy it is. We even have parents who send us to yeshiva. There's no Yetzer Hara which is stopping us from learning. None whatsoever. Our Yetzer Hara has nothing to do with our learning. So what is? What's our Yetzer Hara now? Chazal tell us that we have the Shalosh Regalim, the three festivals, which the word Regalim also means raglaim, feet. And we know a chair that has 3 feet, you could balance yourself on. However, when the Galus became very, very difficult, we needed a 4th foot, which was Purim. When the Galus became even more difficult, we received the fifth leg, and that was Chanukah. And Chazal tell us that Chanukah is the last Yom Tov that we received, that with Chanukah we're supposed to be able to find the strength to fight until Mashiach comes. There's something so inherent in Chanukah, some message that we can take, which is supposed to help us be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara and bring Mashiach. What is that? How do we do it? Mefarshim explain that Yavan, Greek, represents the Choshech. Right? When the Pasuk in Bereishis talks that the Gemara darshins out, the Pasuk, V'to'al p'nei sehom, right? The Choshech. It tells us what each one is. And it says the Choshech is Yavan. Now what is this Choshech? And what exactly is Yavan? We say in Al-Anisim that they tried Lashkicham Torasecha, to make us forget the Torah. What Torah did they try to make us forget? It was the Torah Sheba'al Peh. How do you know it's the Torah Sheba'al Peh? Well, it's very simple. Something that's written down, you can't make them forget. Right? Torah Sheba'al Peh, which was at one point in history just in our minds. So if you take a look at it, nowadays, right, we have many, many Sfarim. Right? But back when, they used to have one Gemara for a whole town. People knew everything by heart. That shayach to forget something. And the word Choshech, which represents Yavan, change the letters around, you get Shachach. They were very against our Torah Sheba'al Peh. Sorry, I'm going to need the light now a little bit. How do we get this going? Thank you. Thanks. One of the reasons why there's no Mishnayos, Chanukah, Maseches Chanukah, right? We have Maseches Megillah. Why don't we have Maseches Chanukah? The reason is, one of the reasons that's given at least, is that the Yavanim, to some degree, succeeded in making us forget. They succeeded to the point that there was a need to go and put everything in writing, to create the Mishnayos, to create the Gemara. But Rebbe, who wrote the Mishnayos, felt that it's impossible to go and make a Maseches on Chanukah, because that would defy the whole purpose. The whole battle was that he tried to make us forget and we won. That we still have a Torah of Baal Peh. We still have it in our minds. And therefore it's impossible to have a Maseches Mishnayos. That would defy the whole purpose. That would show that the Yevanim really won. But what do we have now? We have many Sfarim written down. So what's left? Why couldn't we just have a Torah Shebichtav? Chazal tell us that the Torah that changes a person is Torah Shebaal Peh. We have the Sfarim now. It's not, we don't need to memorize it. So what's left for us to do? That's the Amilus for Torah, to toil in Torah, the Yigiyah, to work hard in Torah, to memorize stuff in Torah, to review it, to constantly go over it. Medrash says that Hashem said during the whole story of Chanukah, Halavai Osi Avaru, I wish you would just forget about me, V'torosi Shamaru, when you keep my Torah. Forget the mitzvos. Forget the Torah Shebichtav. But you got to keep the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's what you need. That's what makes the Jew. And this is exactly what the Yevanim knew that they had to get rid of. So we have a mitzvah of lighting candles, Chanukah candles. Why do we light them? Pirsumei Nisa. We light it inside, outside, upstairs. It's the only mitzvah that we try to show everybody else, that we want to get out there. Why is that? Why is this the only mitzvah that we really try to go and show off? The reason is because we're trying to give a message. And that message is, the only way to fight the darkness, you light it safe, the only way to fight the dark is by lighting that candle. The only way to fight Choshech is with light. The Yevanim, the Greeks, as we said, are Choshech. And that's our Yetzihara. Every single one of us has an element of Choshech in them. We all have our Yetzirharas. And when we have that Yetzirhara, you can't proceed forwards. When you're enveloped, when you're surrounded in Choshech, you can't move. One person's worried about how he's going to support his family. Another person's worried about, oh, if I sit and learn all day and I don't get out enough, I'm not going to get enough sunlight. Whatever stupidity people have, I'm worried my friends are going to think of me. Whatever your own personal choshech is, that's what prevents you from learning. And the Yevanim knew this. They understood that they had to create the choshech, because that was the only way that they were going to be able to stop us. So how do we fight them? How do we fight the Yevanim? By lighting Chanukah candles. What are we showing? There was a miracle. What happened? We lit enough oil for one day, and it lit for 8 days. And what are we showing by that? That everything's in Hashem's hands. Just as Hashem can make it light for one day, Hashem can make it light for 8 days. So what are you worried about? God can take care of it. There's a story brought down. The two brothers, Rav Zusha and Rav Elimelech. Some of you might know these stories. They took upon themselves a long exile where they traveled around, been known to other people. That means unknown, right? Not known. People did not recognize who they were, how big tzaddikim they were. And they went and they just were marbits Torah from place to place. And one time, they went to sleep. Zusha went to sleep outside, and Elimelech went and he slept inside. And inside there was a whole bunch of Goyim who were drunk. And they decided that it would be fun to go and get some kicks. And they saw a Jew sleeping outside, Zusha. They dragged him inside. They made him dance for them. And then they started kicking him. But because they were drunk, Zusha was able to slowly slip away, went back outside to his corner to sleep. But they came out again. They dragged him in, made him dance, embarrassing him, and then kicking him. But again, he slowly managed to escape. Third time, they come out, they throw him inside, start beating him. Elimelech turns to his brother Zusha and says, Zusha, enough, it's my turn. I want some of the Yisurim. I want some of the suffering. So you sleep inside and I'll take your spot outside. And they do that. And the Goyim go outside, but they say, hey, we've already hit this Jew outside 3 times. There's another one sleeping inside. Let's go and get him. And they go inside and they grab Zusha again. They make him dance and they kick him again. At that point, Zusha turns to his brother and says, if Hashem wants Zusha inside to get kicked, he gets kicked. If Hashem wants Zusha outside to get kicked, he gets kicked also. It doesn't make a difference. There are no games. You can't trick God. God will do what he wants to do, whether you want it or not. And this isn't only in Gashmias. It's not only God gives you Parnassa, God gives you this. But it's in Ruchnias as well. You could have a guy who's not so talented. You know, he's not a great Gemara reader. His understanding is not that great. But one day of oil can turn into 8 days. Hashem could take your one little talent and he could extend it for as long as he wants. In Ruchnias as well. You might not be the best guy, but Hashem has the power, the ability, and the desire to help you go from a one and last forever. And that can happen. But how? You have to go and light the oil. There has to be a light. If you're in darkness, then you're stuck. You can't move. The Yerushalmi, I didn't see this inside. I heard this from my Rebbe. It's a fascinating Gemara. It quotes the Pasuk. Orech yamin bimino ubismolo osher vechavod. Right? Long life, olam haba on the right, and wealth and honor on the left. Well, there's this one rabbi who went and opened the yeshiva on the left, called Osher Vechavod. And he said, anyone who wants, Gemara guys, anyone who wants to come to my yeshiva, you'll get Osher Vechavod. Sometime later, a student shows up and says, hey, I'd like to sign up for the Osher Vechavod. No problem, you're welcome into my yeshiva. And the kid has no money, he goes, he learns for 6 months, and he comes to the Rosh Yeshiva and says, hey, where's my Osher V'chavod? The Rosh Yeshiva says, not yet. A month passes, 2 months, another 3 months passes, he comes back, where's my Osher V'chavod? Rosh Yeshiva says, sorry, not ready yet. 2 months later, a man walks into the yeshiva and says, I am very, very wealthy, but I don't know how to learn. So I'm asking you, please, I want to give you money. And he takes 12 cups and fills them up with gold, golden coins and jewels and everything. He says, I want you to give this to someone to learn for me. And I want their schar. The next day, the Rosh Yeshiva calls him, the student, and says, hey, here's your Osher V'chavod. And the student eagerly goes and takes those 12 cups of coins. A while later, the Rosh Yeshiva sees the student crying. He says, why are you crying? So he says, student says, I can't believe how stupid I was to give up my olam haba for just a few cups of coins. And the Yerushalmi says, you know who the student was? Rav Shimon ben Pazi. It just goes to show you, every single one of us has our choshev. We have our yitzharas. We have those taivas. And you can't learn with them. So Yavon fought us with darkness, with Choshech. How'd they do that? That's the Chachma of the Yavonim. Chachmas Yavon. What'd they do? They introduced us to the outside world. They introduced us to the beauty of sports, physicality, the body, technology. The Yetzer Hara doesn't try to fight us anymore, guys. It comes right with us into the Beis Medrash. It could also be known as a BlackBerry, as a sports magazine. It could be right in your house in the form of a little box, or in some places a very, very big one. There's nothing stopping us from learning, except for the Choshech that we created for ourselves. You want to know why some people are so matzliach in learning? Because they don't have those things bothering them. It's beautiful because when you turn on the light, it doesn't just take the darkness and put it in a bag and stick it under the table. The darkness is gone. Could you imagine what it'd be like to learn without anything bothering you? You could have that. You really, really could. But you have to turn on the light. Imagine right now if this room was pitch black and you had to walk out of this room. You'd bump into everything. Turn on one little light switch and you could just maneuver away around everything. No problems whatsoever. And you could have that in your learning. But we all are stuck with our choshev. So we said, how do we fight this choshev? The light allows us to move forwards. We have a saying, kol od haner dolek, as long as there is light, efshir latakin, you're able to go and fix yourself. We know that the ner is nishmas adam. As long as you're still alive, your heart's pounding, there's that fire within you. The zman that we're in right now, winter zman as it's known in the yeshiva world, is the most important zman for a yeshiva guy. Zman Elul and the summer zman are both very, very short. These 5-6 months are the times where a person can really, really grow. However, just as the other zmanim which are short pass by quickly, we've all lived through these winter zmanim as well, which pass by very quickly too, before we even know it. However, if each one of us tries to go and make a plan for these 5 months, this plan will really be that model. It will really give you that light and the opportunity to go and change. Now, I personally hate when someone gets up to speak and says, oh, you gotta make a plan, and leaves you sort of hanging, and you're like, what am I supposed to do now? So I'm going to tell you what this plan should be. There's a medrash which is brought in the Hakdama of Ein Yaakov, which quotes a machlokas between a couple of Tanaim, three of them. And they're arguing about what is the most important pasuk in the Torah. And the first time it says that the most important pasuk in the Torah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. The second Tana gets up and says, the pasuk which is more important than that is Vahafta L'Reyacha Kamocha. Third Tana gets up and says, the most important pasuk is Es Asar Ha'echa Tasev Aboker. I'm sorry, it's a Keves Ha'echa Tasev Aboker. That's a Keves Hasheni Tasev In Harabayim. You bring the carbon in the morning, and you bring the carbon in the afternoon. And it says that all the other Tanarim were masking. They agreed to this Tana. Why is that? What's the message? What's so important about that pasuk? Consistency. Every morning, every afternoon. It's true, those other things are very, very gishmak. It's very good to rise to the occasion. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Oh, I love my fellow Jew like myself, even though he just threw his laundry at me, right? Those are nice things. But consistency, that is the most important thing. Right now in this year, you're planting seeds for the future. None of you are going to come out big Talmidei Chachamim after this year. However, you're laying a foundation. If any of you ever looked at construction, the foundation's nasty, it's ugly. There's all these poles and wires and wood coming out of it, it's very rough. However, without that strong foundation, you cannot build a beautiful house on top of it. So practically speaking, what can you do? For these 5 months, and these 5 months only, you could take upon yourself to daven 3 times a day. You could take upon yourself to show up to your starim 3 times a day. Just for these 5 months, you could take upon yourself to do a limud yomi. There are many different programs of something type of learning you could do every day, whether it's the daf yomi, which might be a little much. There's the nachi yomi. There's halacha yomi. There's mishnayis yomi. Consistency, guys. Consistency. When Shabbos comes, to be waiting for 10 minutes before Shabbos. We all know how beautiful Shabbos can be. We've experienced it. To make it real, consistency, perspective. perspective of what is truly important. I'll be the last person to ever tell you you shouldn't play sports. But to make it more important than your Seder, to miss a Seder for it, to come late for a Vikiya Seder for it, you're living in your Choshev. To go around after money, spend years on a degree so you can have fancy cars, you're living in Choshev, you're holding yourself back. You could have a whole dark room, all you need is one little light. One small light, and it can last for eternity. You get rid of the Choshech when you lit it. It's gone. You think you have to be jealous of everything else that's out there? How do these people make Ashar and live in a one-room apartment with 10 kids? You can't do that. You need the big fancy mansion. You need HD, I don't know, whatever it's called. You care what animal it has on your shirt? In Seneca, a bunch of fourth graders were arguing with the girl that she couldn't be part of their UGG club because hers weren't real. Is this what we want our kids to turn out like? Is this what we want to be? Is this where we're going? I'll tell you an unbelievable idea. Unbelievable idea. We know a couple of weeks from now, Yosef's going to have a couple of dreams. And in the first dream, he pictures these, right, these piles of wheat, 11 piles bowing down to him. And in the second dream, there's the sun, the moon, and the stars. However, the Beis HaLevi points out that after the first dream, the Pasuk says, Vayisnu oso, they hated him. But after the second dream, it says, Vayikanibo, they were jealous of him. And the Beis HaLevi asks, why is it that the first dream they only hated him but weren't jealous, but the second one they were jealous? What's pshat? So the Das Kanim tries to answer this up by asking a question first. He says, any dream which is seen twice, Hashem answers very quickly, brings it about very quickly. So why did this dream take 22 years? So he gives an answer. He says, that's only if it happens on the same night. But if it's on different nights, then it doesn't happen right away. So the Mefarshim explained, though, that these two dreams were really very, very different dreams. And they say, if you look closely, the first dream, he says that all the alumos, all the piles, were going to bow down, la'alumasi, right, to my pile. Whereas opposed to the second dream, it says, Shtachavu li, bow down to me. Why in the first dream does he say they're going to bow down to my pile, right, where represented Yosef? And the second dream he says they're going to bow down to me as myself. And the Mefarshim explained that in the first dream, well, Yosef made those piles. So it was known that those 11 are the brothers, and this one's him. And if those 11 are bowing down, they're bowing down to him. So it's obvious that they're bowing down to his pile, that it's Yosef. But in the second dream, if they're bowing down to Star, how do you know that Star is Yosef? Right? That's why it has to say Lee. But the Beis HaLevi that answers his question tells you the following. It's unreal. He says, the first dream, when they bowed down to Yosef the first time, did they know that it was Yosef? They thought he was some guy, some Melech Mitzrayim. So Yosef couldn't let them know. It had to be Lalumasi. Not to me, Yosef. Because in order for the dream, the Ramban writes, for it to be real and for it to happen, they couldn't have known that it was him. But the second dream, with Yaakov coming down already, that was already Lee to me, because they knew it was Yosef. And therefore, the first dream, there's no jealousy. Why? You're going to be some Shegetz? You're going to be a Melech Mitzrayim? Am I jealous of that? That you have all the money in the world to give out? I don't need that. I'm not jealous of something like that. They hate him for it, but they're not jealous. But the second one, you're going to bow down to me. My father is going to show you that I'm great. That I'm a big Yosef HaTzadik. That they were jealous of. There's a story in Bnei Brak that a kolo guy went out to work and he was very, very successful. He made his first million, his second, his third, got himself a car, nice house, clothing. And at a certain point, he decided he wants to go and buy a really, really fancy car. And his wife said, I don't think you should. We live in Bnei Brak. All your friends are learning in Kollel. They're poor people. They're going to be very jealous of you if you have a fancy car. But he felt that because of his position in his business, people would not take him seriously if he was driving around, you know, in the Rebbe movie. So they went to Rav Steinman to ask him a shiloh what they should do. And Rav Steinman said back to this businessman, did you learn all of Shas? He said, no. Have you learned any Masechtas by heart yet? No. So he says, go buy the car, because there's nothing to be jealous of you. You think your friends who are learning all day are going to be jealous of you? You've done nothing. There's nothing to be jealous. Go and get it. Chanukah is a time of light. The winter's man. It starts to get dark. Chanukah comes at the very beginning of it. We have the opportunity to take this man and light it up, Rav Osai. We can all light up, and it's kosher to do so. And it's recommended to light up. Now, if any of you just give over this last part of the recording and cut out the first part, I'll kill you. But we have a tremendous opportunity. And it's really a question of our perspective. Can you take the last 18 years of your life, copy and paste it, put it on a side, and then hit delete? Do you have the ability to light up your life, light up your world? Because if you can, the choshech will be completely gone. Any struggle that you had, any obstacle, it's gone. It's not like other things where you just have to stick it in the machzan somewhere for storage. You turn on the light, the choshech is gone. Perspective. Consistency. A desire to search for the truth. To find the real MS in life. Now, I did not say that that means that you have to sit and learn for the rest of your life all day. Don't take this message the wrong way. But an understanding. The Mefarshim ask why the whole Nes of Chanukah was done by a woman. Yehudis, right? If the whole miracle of Chanukah was for the Oskei Torah Secha, the people who are sitting and learning, then why was it done by a woman? They explain that if you really want to be able to have this light, then the Mesiras Nefesh has to come from both sides, not just from the husband, from the wife as well. And that's why she had a part in this as well. You need to be able to do this together. And the Pach HaShemen that they found, with the chasima, with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. You know what that means, guys? If you want the oil to light, it has to be a full Pach HaShemen. You take one drop here, one drop there, and learn. It doesn't work. How many of us have sat for 3 hours without our phone on and just sat and learned? And every single one of you is capable of doing that. And I promise you that if you try it and you do it, you will have your Pach HaShemen. You'll have it. You'll see it. You'll get a geshmak out of it. It will be enjoyable. It will be great. 3 hours with no interruptions. So maybe you can only do 20 minutes. So do 20 minutes. But definitely don't bring the schmutz in the Beis Medrash. Definitely not. Comes a time in each person's life where he has to start asking questions. Judaism is probably the only religion where we teach people how to ask questions. Back and forth, and Gemara, Rishonim, Achronim, this, that. And it's time for each one of us to ask ourselves our own questions. Do we want to have a life with no more choshech? Chanukah tells us how to do it. As we said, Chanukah is the last Yom Tov that we have in this long galus, which we're supposed to be able to take out of it to be able to bring Mashiach. And the message is, get rid of the darkness. Just turn on that little light and Hashem will do a huge miracle for you and all the choshech disappears. Mirtza Hashem, we will use this opportunity of a Zman Choref, of a good 5-6 months now, where if we approach Chanukah with the right mindset, when we light that first candle, we'll be lighting inside of ourselves as well, our neshamas, and all the choshech will disappear. There are some donuts that were promised in the back.